Chapter 44, Constructive Criticism 2024. Before I start into this, I want you to know that I hear it all the time, and so do you. It's not about you. It's about something else. It's about others. It's not about you. I want to address that before we start constructive criticism. That phrase is very, very deceptive. Very, very deceptive. It is too about you. It's about you and the responsibility that God has given you. And God has given you quite a responsibility. It is too about you. It's about you and how you handle God and how you handle the responsibilities that God has given you. Yes, you are to do and have other things. Yes, you are to do and have and take care of others. Yes, you have been given a lot, and a lot is required of you. We know that, and that is truth. But it is about you and what you're doing. Chapter 44, Constructive Criticism 2024. It's an interesting combination, an impossible combination. It's an oxymoron. What's that? It's a figure of speech in which contradictory terms appear together. It doesn't make sense. It's opposite of itself, in and of itself, which is the very definition of chaos. The term is used to hurt people, period. Let's use ministry in Christ as an example. The whole world says Jesus Christ is a myth, perhaps a legend of old, just some constructive criticism here for you Christians, just made up a bunch of stories in that Bible and all the rest of us know this. Why don't you? Hey, we're just trying to help you get along in this world a little better. That's a quote by many unknown and known fools. Made up a bunch of stories. I'm going to show you something in a minute that you'll never forget. First of all, this last Sunday was Palm Sunday. What happened in Israel on the actual Palm Sunday was in perfect alignment with Scripture, foretold hundreds of years before time, before it happened. That should cause the world to wake up and cut it out with constructive criticism of Christians. And I'll tell you why. Let's start with Zechariah 9:9. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you. Righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. A baby donkey. Did it happen? It exactly did. It exactly did, and it was written that it would happen, foretold over 500 years before Jesus was actually born. And it was foretold that it would happen on that day. That's just for openers. And Israel knew the scripture. They knew the writings. Constructive criticism for Jesus. From the Pharisees, this is what they said to the people. This is what the teachers said to Israel about Jesus. A little constructive criticism here for Jesus. This is what they said. Matthew 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it's only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. That's just one thing they said. They accused Jesus, the Messiah, of having the power given to him only by Satan. Hard to believe. Especially in a minute when I tell you they knew who he was. The truth was there, right in front of them. Jesus was right in front of them. And all of Israel chose to disagree with him, giving constructive criticism. And by the way, Israel was given constructive criticism. Do you understand? They were taught this by their leaders. March 24th, this past Sunday, 2021, years ago, remarkable documentation of this day. That day, Jesus entered Jerusalem for the first time on the back of a donkey. Luke 19:29-44 outlines the events perfectly. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but it's in my notes. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Do you see what Jesus said? There's so much truth here that even the stones will talk. The truth is crystal clear. And yet how many chose to see it differently? A whole nation? And today the entire world offers constructive criticism meant as a helpful tool, wrapped in helpful tool, a helpful tool that ultimately, in many cases, leads to the martyr of those innocent believers in Jesus Christ. How does that affect you, your business? It does. As a believer, you got to know what you believe. Listen to the things that follow. I've listed prophecies of Jesus pertaining to the day of Palm Sunday and other things as well. The prophecies of Jesus, Old Testament prophecy. Now, I can't read them all, but I'm going to read a couple of them to you. Old Testament prophecy and New Testament fulfillment. I had 50 of them. And there's more. I'm only going to mention a couple. Like I said, you'll get the idea. You can read them all in my notes. This is the argument, the constructive criticism against Christ. No, this is the argument against constructive criticism. It's a big story. The biggest, the realest ever told. Here we go. Jesus foretold from the study. I borrowed these 50 from the study of Jack Hibbs. The Messiah would be a descendant of Isaac. That was written in Genesis 17, 19, and it was fulfilled in Luke 3, 34. That's just one. Messiah would spend a season in Egypt. Messiah would be preceded by Elijah. Messiah would be declared the Son of God. Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Messiah would bring light to Galilee. Messiah would be falsely accused, Psalm 35, 11. Old Testament scripture, New Testament fulfillment, Mark 14, 57, 58. Messiah would be given vinegar to drink, Psalm 69, 21. Long before Jesus was crucified. Fulfillment, Matthew 27, 34. Messiah would be mocked and ridiculed, Psalm 22, 7, 8. Fulfilled in Luke 23, 35. These are foretold prophecies that came true. Messiah would be forsaken by God, Psalm 22, 1. Old Testament scripture, New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 27, 46. Soldiers would pierce Messiah's side. That was foretold in Zechariah 12, 10. Fulfillment, John 19, 34. These happened, and that's just a few of them. Messiah would speak in parables, Psalm 78, 2 and 4, Matthew, and was fulfilled in Matthew 13, 10, 15. These are just a few. Soldiers would pierce Messiah's side. Messiah would be buried with the rich. Messiah would resurrect from the dead. Messiah would ascend into heaven. Messiah would be sealed at God's right hand. Messiah would be a sacrifice for sin. All these happened in the Old Testament, and the leaders of Israel knew it. The Jews knew this. This was written. They knew it. Messiah would present himself as King of the Jews. Zechariah 9:9, Old Testament scripture. New Testament fulfillment. These are amazing. These are amazing. I want you to think about that for a second. Messiah would be rejected by his own people. Psalm 69, 8, Old Testament. New Testament fulfillment, John 1, 11. This is nuts. This is truth. This is history. This is history. Messiah would enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah 11, 12, Old Testament scripture. Fulfilled in Matthew 21, 4 and 5. Messiah would be betrayed, Psalm 41, 9. Old Testament, New Testament fulfilled. Look, Luke 22, 47 and 48. How could you have these things? How could that happen? One of them would be amazing. I got 50 of them and there's more. Why am I making such a big deal out of Scripture regarding constructive criticism? Why? Because if you really get this, nobody can fool you, deceive you, criticize things that need not be criticized. Oh, yeah. Do you guys get it that the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and this is the way they acted? They knew it! And they were so fearful of him, they had him crucified. They knew this. Let's keep going. March 14th, 445 BC. Here's a good one for you. Nehemiah was given a blank check by King Artaxerxes to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That's a great story. You guys got to read it. I mean, I can't get into it on the call right now, but Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem after they'd been knocked down in previous wars. But the prophecy, that's what I want to focus on, the prophecy given in the book of Daniel chapter 9. Get this. This is so amazing. Announced that it would be 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC to Sunday, April 6th, 32 AD, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He didn't say in a few years, or in maybe a few days of a few hundred thousand days. He said exactly in prophecy, 173,880 days. From the day of Nehemiah and the completion of that wall, it was announced hundreds of years that Palm Sunday would happen exactly that day. And it did. It did. It happened exactly in that day. Daniel 9:25-27. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Well, what's that mean? How do you know that means? That is based on a Gregorian calendar used in those days. It's exactly 173,880 days. And Daniel was written, that was written by Daniel how many years before Jesus? And on that exact day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. How could that happen without God? How could that happen? And we are criticized every day, constructive criticism, that this is not true, that all this stuff is just fabrications and stories. Do you understand how this affects your life? The decisions you make in your business, the decisions you make in your life. Luke 19:41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Why? He wept over it. Why? Everybody who says, why did Jesus cry? I'll tell you why. If you, it says in verse 42, and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Everybody mute your phone. That means what? They knew it. You chose, the Jews chose to turn away from the true Messiah. They chose with God standing in front of them. Based on the written word that came hundreds of years before Jesus, there he stood. And they refused actual scriptural history. And now what happens? That's why God cried. He cried. Because now they face what? The Great Tribulation without Jesus. They face the Great Tribulation. Luke 19:44. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Know what's happening with constructive criticism in this world. Do you understand what can happen in your own business, your own life, the life of your family, if you allow yourself to bend the truth or let the world or somebody bend your truth or use constructive criticism to mold your children the wrong way? Constructive criticism seems to be born of jealousy, envy, all packaged in the name of such a nice, helpful thing. But it comes with no solution, just critique. And that is harmful. delivered always by those who have no business giving suggestion. Instead of truth, constructive criticism of Jesus Christ was taught to the nation of Israel while he walked on this earth in front of them. And it was born from jealousy and fear. The teachers taught the people that Jesus was not who he said he was. Why? Fear, envy, the want of power, brought by the Pharisees and the Sadducees governing the Jews. It cost an entire people the miracle of the Messiah that was foretold it would come. And those responsible for this heresy, they did it knowing full well Jesus was and is the Messiah, as foretold in history of God's words hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. Now what? So what are the Jews doing now? They're waiting for the Messiah to come. And what is foretold in Scripture? That the Antichrist is coming and that he will be seen as the Messiah. Wrong guy, dudes. Wrong guy. Constructive criticism. The cost of constructive criticism is huge. What have I seen? What have I seen of constructive criticism? My eyes. What have my own eyes seen? It comes against truth. That's what I've seen. It comes to dishonor. I've never heard that phrase cause anything good. I have heard it create anxiety, always in the name of everything good and holy. But remember, pride is the fall of Satan. Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Advice has solutions. We all need direction. That's different. Wisdom is found in solutions, not throwing darts at people. Constructive criticism is without solution, fueled by a sinister motive. Romans 14:19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Oh yeah, man, bring it. There's nothing that can stand against the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. There are people that do not want to learn. Rather, they would injure your success. They'd like that instead. Upset you, diminish your successes, and enjoy any disaster that may befall you. Well, how do I know when somebody's not operating from a good place? Matthew 12:35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Pretty easy to spot. Well, not sometimes. You got to look. You got to be in the Word. You got to pray to have discernment of the Spirit. People are not so good that are deciding to wield constructive criticism. When people hurt you, ask why. When people blow up your plan, ask why. Following that question, there's a multiple of good conversations that can occur. They could occur. Maybe you identify that people were using constructive criticism incorrectly. They really did have a solution. Well, that'd be great. Or you may discover that they don't have a solution. All they want to do is hurt you or those around you, and that's a sure sign of evil. Why do you know what it sounds like? Hey, well, I'm sorry if it's upsetting. I guess you just can't take a little constructive criticism. That is awful. People say it all the time. Hey, if you can't take a little constructive criticism, you'll never grow. Nonsense. Nonsense. Pay no attention to undermining myths, character assassination, and interruptions, all in the name of goodness. Hold in suspect constructive criticism and those that bring it into the room with them. 1 John 4. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Titus 1:12-16. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Don't let people listen to this stuff. Titus 3:10, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. This is pretty serious stuff. Constructive criticism, if your kids come home with their brains all bent out of shape, their brains are all bent out of shape because somebody was giving them a little constructive criticism. Walk away from resistant, undermining, jealous, impudent, petty, belligerent, and vicious characters. Here's some quotes from very important people. Well, Friedrich Nietzsche, let's try him. I've seen only tragedy come from such lip service. Surrounded by the flames of jealousy, the jealous one winds up like the scorpion, turning the poison sting against himself. Yeah, but before that, they hurt a lot of people, right? Margaret Thatcher said, the spirit of envy can destroy. It can never build. Bette Midler, the worst part of success is trying to find someone who is happy for you. That's great, isn't it? Ecclesiastes 5, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. Dig this, man. Chapter 44 outlines constructive criticism and those people who would, given the opportunity, crush you. Crush you. Or those you love. Just to be the one that shoots the hero, right? I say the following scripture to those who would deliver the poison arrow of constructive criticism. I say this, Romans 14, 12. Yes, each of us will give a person account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Live in such a way that you will not cause another to stumble and fall. Oh yeah, let's dig that one. Each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Let's live in such a way that you will not cause another to stumble or fall. Beware, kids. Chapter 44, constructive criticism. Don't be a bully. Don't let a bully steal your destiny or anyone you love. Keep close to the Lord in all your endeavors. My friends, ask for discernment in all matters, and then forge ahead in prayer and the word of God, Deuteronomy 28. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Psalm 14:1, foolishness and wickedness of people. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed detestable acts. There is no one who does good. The fool has said in his heart. Dig that. God is good and so are you. Don't forget, all creativity, all knowledge and wisdom come from him. Constructive criticism is meant to get in the way of you because it is all about you. God is all about you. God is all about you and everything that he would have you do. All the good things that he has planned for you before time itself. And he did plan them. I showed that to you in prophecy. Look in my notes. It was foretold that Jesus Christ would come, the Messiah. And there was no way to say that's not true. The prophecy was clear, hundreds of years. And yet we have today constructive criticism as if all of this is just a myth. It cost Israel, it cost the Jews the ability to see the true Messiah. But not you. Have discernment in what you're seeing. Don't let this in your camp. Constructive criticism is poison. It's poison. And it was built in hell to destroy the minds and hearts of those people who are doing the good things in the Lord. Oh yeah, dig it. Dig it. Dig it. And so I say again, God is good and so are you. Don't forget that. His creativity, his knowledge and wisdom, all of that for you. All of that for you. Don't let chapter 44, constructive criticism 2024, don't let that get in the way. Know it for what it is. Amen, amen. John, let's put this in our pistol and have it ready to fire as we go out on the front lines of the world that comes against us.